connection with the celebration of the Lord's Supper this morning, I'd like to read from Genesis 22, the verses 1 to 19. Genesis 22, beginning at verse 1 and following. Listen to the word of God. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I surely will bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. Please take note especially of the verses 8 and 14. Verses 8, where it says, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And verse 14, so Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day. On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Thus far. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we go through this life, there are those times when we wonder about the Lord our God. There are times when we may even ask ourselves, does he really truly exist? Is he really there, and is he there for us? Does he truly love me? Will he save us from death? And especially when we are going through difficult times, these sorts of questions arise. When there is sickness, when there is marriage breakdown and strife and family conflict, when there are financial problems, when there is illness and depression, indeed, In times of hardship, we find our faith in God being tested. Yes, and you may notice in our text, Abraham experienced this as well. Verse 1 says, after these things, God tested Abraham. And I would remind you that surely is not the first test that came along in Abraham's life. Think, for example, of the Lord calling him out of Ur of the Chaldeans without any kind of roadmap, without any kind of travel insurance, and off he had to go. It came also during those days, those years, those endless years of childlessness, when he wondered, truly, is he ever going to see together with Sarah a son? And of course, it came as well during his dealings with his nephew Lot, which made life rather difficult too for time. And so you can say that Abraham's life knows testing. But yet, in our text, this testing becomes ever, ever so much more severe. And why? Because this testing concerns his one and only son, Isaac. Look at the telling language, verse 2. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. You know, step by step, you hear the language, your son, your only son, the son that you love so much. And then look at the shocking command. Offer him there as a burnt offering. When you read that for the first time, or maybe some other times as well, that word offer, sacrifice, is what sticks out. And we think, along with Abraham, did I read right? Did I hear right? Did God really tell Abraham to do that? How could he ask this of him? This is impossible, incredible, unbelievable, even insane. How can I kill my son, my only son, the son of promise, the son of the future? Future of the land and the nation, and that blessing to all the world. How could I kill him? What is God doing? Well, beloved, God is testing Abraham. He's doing that in his life, something that he does in ours as well, not, of course, in the same measure. But there are times when God challenges us, when he puts our big words of faith and commitment to the test, and he's seeing, do we really, truly love him? And do we love him more than father and mother and wife and children and money and position? But at the same time, God is also doing something else. He is teaching us something about the nature of faith. What is faith? Is it a purely human reaction? Is it our own homegrown product? And we learned from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that faith is a gift. It's a gift that God gives us and works in us through the power of his Holy Spirit. But you ask, what kind of gift is this? How strong, how steadfast, how sure? Just how great is this gift of God? Well, let's see. I preached to you on the theme, the Lord will provide. Well, beloved, to answer the question, how great is this faith or this gift, we should take another closer look at Abraham. God has issued what we may call, if you'll pardon me, his gruesome command. And what is now Abraham's reaction to this command? Is it refusal, rebellion, procrastination? Now look at verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. You might wonder, how did he manage to do this? How did he get up the energy and the courage to do this? Well, beloved, this is faith, that gift of God that enables him. And so Abraham and Isaac and the young men set out. They're going to the land of Moriah. Supposedly, they are going there to worship. And upon reaching the place, they climb the mountain, armed with wood, fire, and knife. But father and son go alone. But then notice the son is aware that something is missing, something crucial. He says, "My father, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And what can Abraham say to that? How will he answer his son? Verse 8 tells us, Abraham answered, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." What a prophetic answer that is. Did Abraham really know what he was saying? Was he speaking out in his desperation, in his great need? Was he expecting some kind of a last-minute reprieve? We don't know. There's a lot of things we don't know about in this passage. What we do know is that he proceeds. He builds an altar rock by rock, wood by wood. He arranges everything on the altar. And then comes the hardest part of all. He takes his son, his only son, the son who is more precious to him than anything else in the whole wide world, and he places him on the wood and ties him down on the altar. Again, we ask, how did he manage this? Did he somehow talk Isaac into cooperating? Did he force him to submit? We don't know. All we know is the sacrifice is ready. Everything is ready. And all that remains to be done is to take the knife and kill the son. Yes, and in faith, Abraham is even prepared to do that. Hebrews 11 later on comments, "He who received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead." But then notice, as he raises the knife, God intervenes. He sends his angel, and the angel calls out, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the boy." Abraham hears, and he stops in mid-stride. He looks up, and what does he see in the thicket nearby? A ram caught in a thicket by its horns. It must have been with great, immense relief that he untied his son. And he took the ram and he sacrificed it instead. And then he goes to something else. He names the place where all of this happens. It's called in Hebrew Yahweh Yireh, meaning the Lord will see to it, or the Lord will provide. Yes, and if you think of it, How prophetic are those words of Abraham. On the one hand, it's true that the Lord provides a substitute for Isaac. The ram dies for the son. But on the other hand, there's so much more to consider here. For what we have here is a picture of what God, in a sense, does for all of us as people. For think about it. Who actually should be on that altar? Who really deserves to be sacrificed, killed, and put to death? Isn't it you and I? Indeed, all of us who are children of God? We should all be on that altar. That's what we deserve. The wages of sin, Scripture says, are death. That's where our sins, if not repented of, will ultimately lead us to. But both Isaac and we as well are spared. And how it's this possible? Well, it's possible because God also has a son, a one and only son, an only begotten son, a son whom he loves more than life itself. It's only possible because he is willing to hand this son over to death on a cross. John the Baptist says it so clearly in John 1. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the book of Revelation identifies him over and over again as the Lamb of God who was slain. Yes, this Lamb is not spared at the last moment. No angel comes to Golgotha and suddenly says, do not lay a hand on him. No, this end suffers, is crucified, dies, is slain, and his life is taken. Paul says in Romans 8 that God did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all. And John writes in Revelation, the Lamb who was slain. Beloved, do you see the difference between Abraham and God the Father? God demanded everything of Abraham, and he gave it only in the end. Abraham gave nothing. It cost him nothing except a lot of heartache and searching of mind. But the same cannot be said of God the Father. For everything is demanded of him, and he gives it only at great cost. The Lord provides for his people, and he does so at the cost of his one and only son. For this Father, there is no short-circuiting the pain and the sacrifice. And for this son, there is no last-minute reprieve. For this father and son, there is no other way out. There's only death. A death that provides. A death that pays our ransom. A death that opens up the way to us for life and glory everlasting. Beloved, it is now this death, this sacrifice that should be before our eyes and in our hearts today and every day. As you eat the bread this morning, as you drink from the cup, realize that these are the sure signs that God has provided for you and will continue to provide for you. He will take away all your sins. How wonderfully, how gloriously the Lord provides. Yes, and that glorious provision, beloved, should sustain us every day. When you find yourself being tested, do not think that God, who paid such a huge price for you, will ever let you go. He will keep you. He will strengthen you. He will bless you. Indeed, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. For truly, the Lord will and does provide. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come before you this morning, we are thankful that you have reminded us of the great sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And that you remind us by way of this old story in Genesis, the story about Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was willing, through faith, to even put his son to death. But he didn't have to do it, because you intervened. You intervened with the gospel of grace. You intervened with the message of the coming of your one and only Son, who would take this sacrifice upon himself, who would die, who would pay the ultimate price, for whom there are no words of pardon, no acts of intervention. There is only payment and death. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. And we thank you that we may know that through the shedding of his blood, there is forgiveness, righteousness, and life for all of us who believe. Father, bless us this morning. Bless our celebration. Make us ever thankful and confident in you and in your abiding love and care.